You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
The World Series, the Red Sox beat the Dodgers last night, 8-4 in Game 1 in Boston. RJ, what is the Vegas perspective on Game 1 in which we saw Boston take a 1-0 series lead last night?
One of the, I'll say dichotomies, but then I'll explain. Well, one of the things that separate a Vegas batter from a fan is the focus on wins and losses. We talked about it a little yesterday. You have a field goal, 38-yard field goal to win it, down by 2, seconds taken off. You make it, you win. You miss it, you lose. But how different are you as a team? Not at all. But when it comes to your record, your standings, your chance to make the playoffs, very different. Now, think about baseball. How often is a division leader in August, how often do they lose one game and the fans say, that's it, this team's horrible? Or a bottom dweller in August in baseball win one game. Oh, look, I know they're 30 games below 500, but they just won. So why would one game in August not mean anything, but one World Series game mean so much? Now, when it comes to you got to win 4 out of 7, it means a gigantic amount. So if you're a fan and you're rooting for the Dodgers, there's a reason to be upset, no doubt about it. If you're a Red Sox fan, reason to be happy. But if you're a bettor trying to assess how good these teams are, one game does not mean very much about the true quality of these teams. Now, that said, I think there were two takeaways or two factors uncovered or at least brought to light even more so worth talking about. One is Kershaw. Kershaw of the Dodgers in the playoffs. So if you look at his regular season ERA compared to the playoffs, he's almost, not quite, but almost 2 runs worse. 2.4 versus 4.2. Now think about that. It's not quite double, but it's almost double. Now we could say what? Let's try to be optimistic or positive for Kershaw. We could say, hitting is different in the playoffs. Well, if anything, scoring's typically lower in the playoffs, right? Because you have the bullpen ready to go more than the regular season. So now you got to pitch a good 6 maybe instead of a typical almost 8. I don't see any reason other than nerves. So let me open it up. Jonas, Brad Powers, Fezzik, can we think this guy over many games, not one game, not 2 games, is almost two runs worse, Kershaw, in the postseason? Is there any real reason for that, logical reason, other than nerves? Other than, you know, we don't want to say choke, but choking. Fez.
I can't come up with anything.
Brad.
No.
Jonas.
No, nothing.
All right. So, Fez got something.
Well, the bettors expect him to choke because we talk about how Kershaw is never an underdog during the regular season. And look at what that line did last night. Money kept coming in on the Red Sox. They closed like a -170 favorite against Kershaw.
Yeah, and I think the narrative is there, right? And think about it. In a sport where having a dominant pitcher is so important in the postseason, having that ace is so important, to have your ace underperform so drastically in the postseason, it's not only a huge negative to win series, it's a psychological burden. It's like, hey, we can't, you know how great it feels if you're rooting for a team that has that ace that's going to win pretty much 9 out of 10 times? You're like, yeah, we're down 3-1, but we got rocket arm pitching next game. It relaxes you a little bit. With the Dodgers, you got to wonder, yeah, maybe they win tonight, and let's get an updated odds. Tonight, -140, the Red Sox are favored with Price on the mound. That's about home field, so they're saying these are even teams, even pitchers. When you add it up, Red Sox -140 because of the home advantage. But I think that not only is Kershaw hurting them with the loss, but I think hurting them psychologically, as in they don't have their ace to rely upon. And I also think that I'm looking to bet against Kershaw next time. Why? Because if it is psychological, if it is nerves, now that you have a loss in the World Series, you're thinking, if I lose a second game, what kind of goat am I going to be? Not the good goat. So you never know. But I think if we agree that Kershaw's about nerves, he's going to have even more nerves as a problem the next time he starts.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Which locker rooms around the league have the biggest question marks heading into this weekend's action?
You know, Jonas, I would actually ask the question a little differently. I would say, which locker rooms are in enough turmoil to affect the handicap? Because, Fez, let's say up until week 14, because at a certain point, the year's over, there's non-playoff teams, and we can debate, are they putting in 100%? But in the NFL, even if a team is 4-7 in week 12, usually effort's not the issue. You agree with that, right?
Yes, very much. Everyone tries to win in the NFL.
Because to some degree, you're charging a lot of money as a franchise for 8 home games. You better be trying, right? And the whole process and the Sixers approach just doesn't work in the NFL. Now, you can, I mean, we've had times in the last 7-8 years, I think there's been twice that the two worst teams in the league were playing and the winner would get the number 2 pick and the loser would get the number 1, and they still were playing hard.
Yeah, and it always surprised me. And the bottom line is NBA teams, they tank. NFL teams, they don't.
That said, there can be turmoil in a locker room. I think there's 3 question marks that you can't handicap these teams' games this week without at least asking, is the locker room dissension, turmoil enough to be a factor? Raiders, number 1. We talked about in segment 1. Raiders, the lines moved against them 4.5 points. Traded their wide receiver, first-round pick, senses, all playing for the future. Do you think the Raiders' locker room, the Raiders' motivation is a factor?
Oh, very much. I think that the whole point that they let Cooper go and Gruden did not communicate it to the players, there is basically...
So explain that. Gruden did not communicate it to the players.
Yeah, so the players are publicly commenting that, wow, we didn't even know about this. We found out through the media that Cooper was being traded. They're very upset about that. They wanted to hear it from their head coach. And I got to tell you, RJ, this 4.5 point line move, I don't think I've ever seen this happen when there isn't a quarterback injury and a team is on a bye. Think about it. Things aren't supposed to happen when you're on a bye.
Things are so much worse than they were last game. Well, wait a minute. There hasn't been a game in between.
So what's happened? Indianapolis beat Buffalo and the line moved 4.5 points. That is amazing.
So against the Raiders, now the Colts on the road, a 2-5 team on the road favored by a field goal at Oakland. Vegas is very much... the marketplace, the betting market thinks trouble in Raiderland. Team 2, the Giants. Trading Snacks Harrison. The market hasn't adjusted yet. To me, there's no rationale to trade Snacks unless... Now, I'll trade like a banana for Doritos or something. It's usually, like whatever trades I make with Snacks.
You'd win that trade.
No, I usually lose. My health loses. My taste buds tend to win. True. But when it comes to Snacks Harrison, we've discussed it. There's no rationale to the trade other than, hey, winning doesn't mean so much this year to the Giants, but the market hasn't moved. What do you think?
I think the market will move. I'll make a projection right now that the public is going to bet the Washington Redskins -1, and the pros are not going to want to bet back on the Giants with all this turmoil. I think that Washington probably closes a larger favorite.
Ooh, a little inside info from the Fez, only 2-time Super Contest champion. Last team, the Jacksonville Jags. 3 straight, really disappointing losses. I mean, I don't remember, what was it, 17 against KC and 37 against Dallas? I'm just going by memory. And then I know it was 13 against Houston they lost by. If I would have given you those 3 in a row and I said, I'll lay 12.5 against Houston, you know, whatever it is, 26.5 against Dallas, you know, like 1.5 point below the way it happened, would you have given me what, 1,000 to 1, 2,000 to 1?
The 3-team super pleaser, probably 200 to 1.
Yeah, so, I mean, the Jags are like a shocking amount of underperformance. Now, lot of jibber and jabber about maybe Bortles shouldn't be the quarterback, dissension in the locker room, and now you're on a trip. And I said it today on Adam Carolla's podcast. I'm on every tape it Tuesday, on it Wednesday. When you're in the back of the station wagon driving across country and the family's fighting, it's a little more intense than in everyday life, right? The stressors add to the dissension. Boy, it seems like his London trip might add to the Jags' problems.
Yes, and I bet the Eagles -3 because of that issue. The reason I didn't make a huge bet, just a bet, is because of Jacksonville is familiar with that London trip. They make it every year,
which is a slight advantage. And Philly was your early best bet yesterday on Straight Outta Vegas.
Yes.
So you expect that line -3, Philly's favored. You expect it to go up.
I do.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Earlier today on The Herd, Colin Cowherd asked about history being made in this weekend's Packers-Rams game in L.A.
We all admit now that Aaron Rodgers is, right, great. Like, probably the most talented quarterback. I think Brady's the best, easily, but he's the most talented. They are a 9.5-point underdog now to the L.A. Rams with Aaron Rodgers. What is Vegas telling you about Green Bay? They don't have any players. Has Tom Brady ever been a 5-point underdog? Has Drew Brees, in the year the Saints were 7-9, 7-9, 7-9 with a bad defense, was Drew Brees ever a touchdown underdog? That is, I couldn't tell you the last time a Hall of Fame quarterback got 9.5. In 2018? Maybe in 1980.
So I disagree with Colin. History, Vegas history disagrees. Let's define the question, though. If what Colin is saying is it's surprising, it's unusual to have a team have a quarterback as good as the Packers have with Rodgers and not be a better team than they are, I think he's right. We've talked about Russell Wilson in Seattle, Fez. We've been higher on Russell Wilson in Seattle than most anybody because our thinking is in 2018, and Colin's right, quarterback has become more and more important. That the idea that you could be as good as Russell Wilson, some would say top five, and have a below average team, have a 6-win team, a 7-win Seattle team. We say history says no. Now, the one exception was Drew Brees and the Saints when they were 7-9 and they had a historically bad defense. But if you look at the Saints specifically and Drew Brees, Hall of Famer for sure, last 6 years, so going back to 2012, when Drew Brees started, they've been underdogs of more than a touchdown twice. And one of them in 2014 for the Saints, very analogous. Seattle was a 8.5-point favorite against the Saints. So the game was in Seattle, 2014, favored by 8.5 against the Saints in the playoffs. So what does that mean? Seattle at that point was the best team in the NFL. That was the perception. They were playing a borderline playoff team, the Saints. Now, they made the playoffs, but I say borderline because they had just snuck in. They just snuck in, and Seattle was favored by 8.5 with the Hall of Famer Drew Brees. Now, Rams, best team in the NFL. Fez, there's not even a debate about that. How much, in your power ratings, Fez, how much better are the Rams than the second-best team?
They're 2.5 points better than Kansas City Chiefs, my number two team.
So if the Rams are at home against the Chiefs, line's 5.5.
Yes.
Okay, so that, I mean, that's clearly... The Rams are the best team, and they're favored now by 8.5, 9 or so against a borderline playoff team. It's hard to say the Packers are much more than a borderline playoff team. So I think Colin's point should not be, oh, you don't ever have a Hall of Fame quarterback being this big of a dog. And then Colin's point more accurately is it's rare to have a Hall of Fame quarterback in his prime not have a better team. And with Green Bay being a borderline playoff team, playing the best team in the NFL, this line above a touchdown below 10, the Rams are favored by, makes sense. And history tells us it makes sense.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Georgia, Florida, right now Georgia favored by between 6.5 and 7. In different spots. What's the big factors in the game?
Well, let's talk first. We'll transition from just the question segment that we just had in the NFL. I got a question here, and just quite simply about Georgia. Here we are, almost Halloween, and I'm not sure really how good Georgia is. Number 4 in my power ranks almost by default because everyone else behind them has bigger losses than Georgia. Georgia, give them credit. They can only play the teams on their schedule. Beat 5 of them by 24 points or more.
So who's the best team Georgia's beat?
Missouri on the road.
And where's Missouri in your rankings?
Right around 20-25.
Okay. College football is unique, and I'm using the definition of unique, one of a kind, singular. They're unique in college football because you can be into late October and really not have played a game that's super meaningful if you're an elite team. Now, meaningful is probably not the right word. Not super telling. It doesn't tell. I mean, beating Missouri, what was the line? You remember the line in the Missouri
game? Yeah, Georgia was a 14-point road favorite.
Now, listen, Ohio State was almost a 14-point favorite, got beat. So let's give Georgia credit. They didn't, lay a huge egg in some of these other games. But, boy, winning a spread of 14, a game like that, by 21 or 28 tells you something, but it doesn't tell you the same thing as beating a team that's competitive. The idea we're this late in the year, and we have so many question marks about Georgia, it really is unique to college football.
It is, and Georgia's played exactly one game, what I would consider legitimate opponent, LSU. Not a good look for Georgia, a 20-point loss. So question still remains, how good is Georgia?
So do you like Florida?
I do lean with Florida. Lean with Florida.
Ooh, okay. Now remember, guys, if you lean, it's like, hey, RJ's forcing me. But if they like, it means they're betting the game.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.